Tonight we're going to do the last kind of introductory session to the birth of the Messiah. And like almost everything else this time of year, it comes from Isaiah. Isaiah is so packed with everything that there is in salvation history that, like I've probably said before, the book is sometimes called the Gospel according to Isaiah, because it talks about sin and judgment. It talks about how Messiah is going to come. It talks about what he's going to do. It talks about how he suffers to heal us. And then it talks about how Gentiles, unclean, uncovenant people, are going to come into the kingdom. So it's got everything in it in 66 chapters, written 700 years before Jesus was even born. So how cool is that? Pretty amazing. So this is called Root and Banners. We're going to Isaiah 11. And one of those songs kind of set the stage for this. And it's one of the messianic prophecies in Isaiah. There's 6 or 7 or 10 of them that are so cool. And every Advent time, I try to decide which ones we should do. So we've done the Virgin with Child quite a few times, and done, so, you know, try to mix them up. In all my different groups, I'm always mixing them up. And like I was saying the other night, I'm getting a little overwhelmed with all of these Isaiah readings. Now I have to remember which one I did where, but I'm pretty sure we didn't do this one here, this year at least. So Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So something is going to come from Jesse. Now, who's Jesse? David's father. Remember, the prophet Samuel goes to his house to anoint the next king. And the first boy comes out, and he's this tall, handsome guy, and he's all like great stature. And God, he goes, oh, this has got to be the one. God says, forget it. He's not the one. All you're doing is looking at his physical appearance. I'm looking at their heart. He's not the one. So he goes through all the sons, and Samuel says, you got any other sons? And Jesse says, well, just young David, he's out there taking care of the sheep. And go get him. So David is anointed as the next king. It says the Holy Spirit rushed on David and never departed. God said, this is the man after my own heart. He was 16 years, probably 16 years old or so, taking care of the sheep. So it comes from, something is coming from the stem of Jesse, and a branch is going to grow out of his roots. Now, we hear this thing about the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him all through Isaiah. Yeshua himself, when he does his talk, when he does his reading at the synagogue of Nazareth, they hand him the scroll of Isaiah, and he reads Isaiah 61, which starts out with the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then when he does, you know, after every reading, for those of you that have been to synagogues and messianic synagogues, there's a little commentary called a drash. So it says they all fixed their eyes on him because they were waiting to see what he was going to say. A drash is like a 2 or 3 minute explanation about what the reading means to you. And he said, today this reading's been fulfilled. Then there's like a little pause and everybody goes, wait a minute, aren't you Joseph's son? We know where you live. We've known you since you were a kid. And you're saying that's about you? And they want to throw him over the cliff. And if you've been to Nazareth, there's what's called the precipice, which is a drop-off, as we're going to see when we go, is a drop-off, sheer cliff. And there's a little chapel there called the Church of the Precipice or something, but that's where they were going to throw him off. And from that place, you can see for miles, because it's high, very steep. But of course, he walks through him because it wasn't his time yet. So the Spirit of the Lord resting on him is what Mashiach means. the anointed one. It's what Christos means, the anointed one. So we got our word Messiah, of course, from Mashiach. And we got the word Christ from Christos, which both mean the anointed one. So these words get, you know, batted around. And, you know, some people like to say one and not the other. Some people like to say the one. But whatever it is, they both mean the same thing, just different biblical language. So going down a little bit further, they shall not hurt nor destroy all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. Isn't that cool? And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner. Keep that in mind. Stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles will seek him. What are you talking about, Isaiah? Gentiles are going to seek him. Who wants those disgusting, unclean Gentiles here? Ugh. Gentiles will seek him, and his resting place will be glorious. If you'd have heard this 700 years before Messiah, or even at the time Jesus was around, and a Jewish audience would have heard Isaiah say, Gentiles will seek him. Even Peter didn't get this right away. What do you mean, Gentiles? What do you mean Samaritans are coming to faith in Jesus? We better go up there and see what's going on. Because wait a minute. He's our Messiah. He's supposed to be for us. And all the stuff that's in Isaiah about Gentiles, and maybe someday we'll combine them all. But, you know, I'm sure while Yeshua was here with them, he probably mentioned some of these readings from Isaiah, because they would have also heard him in the synagogue. Now, you know, some of them just went for the coffee and donuts and weren't really interested in the readings. Some of them went because they thought it was, you know, it was going to be a party afterwards. But yeah. So this word, a branch, the Hebrew means a small little shoot. It means like a little green thing that comes out of a stump. You ever walk by a tree stump and see like a little, some little green things coming up? That's what the word in Hebrew means. It's a small, weak branch. So Isaiah says, this branch is going to come out of the stem of Jesse. Why? Because Yeshua is the son of David. He's biologically descended from David. Yes, no? 2 Samuel chapter 7. That's what you really should read for your homework. 2 Samuel chapter 7. David says, gee, I'm living in this really nice palace made out of cedar. I'm going to build God a house. And God says, no, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. And from you is going to come the one who's going to shepherd my people Israel. From you, he says, from your body. The old English translations are, you know, from your loins is going to come the one who's going to shepherd Israel. In other words, the Messiah is going to be descended from you, and he's going to sit on your throne, and your throne is going to last forever. It's going to last forever through David, from the stem of Jesse. So this weak, small little branch is somehow going to overcome the world, is going to be so powerfully in the world. Everybody is going to be affected by him one way or another. We're going to be affected for the good, hopefully. Millions of people out there are going to be affected for not for the good. But everyone is going to make a decision about him. No one is going to say, I don't know. I guess he was all right. Philippians chapter 2, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone is going to confess it. Even the people that are on their way to hell at that judgment are going to first confess that Jesus is Lord. And they're going to bow their knee. We're going to bow our knee willingly. I hope he comes tonight. We're going to bow our knee willingly. The people who don't want to bow their knee. He's going to hit them with a rod of iron that he has in his hand, and they're going to bow their knee. Everyone is going to bow their knee. So this Netzar is this small little branch. This is also the root word of Nazareth. Is that cool or what? So the word Nazareth comes from the word for a little weak branch. It was a pretty dopey town at the time. It's a big city now. It's about 90% Muslim. It's a little bit, you get a little bit uncomfortable depending where you park, walking through the city. But now that I'm getting older, I'll probably be a little more careful. But that's what I mean, this small, weak branch. So the city that he grows up is named after a small, weak branch. Just like Isaiah says, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, which is dark and gloomy, Isaiah calls it the Galilee of the Gentiles, because the people in Judah couldn't stand people from Galilee, because they were uneducated, they were stupid, they had an accent, they dressed differently, the men wore a little curl in their beard that set them apart. The Judeans didn't do that. So you knew somebody was a Galilean. In fact, the young girl that Peter denies the Lord to says, even your accent gives you away. We're sure you came with him. You're another one of those yahoos that came down from Galilee. And so this little branch, and in that passage, in the land of darkness and gloom, a light is going to shine. Now, the land of Zebulun is where Nazareth is. So that gets fulfilled. The land of Naphtali is where Capernaum is. So that gets fulfilled. Because Jesus grows up in Galilee, lives in Capernaum a lot. Yeah? Cool. So that prophecy is fulfilled. In fact, when Jesus finds out that John the Baptist has been arrested, he goes back to Capernaum, and Matthew quotes this verse from Isaiah, saying the prophecy was fulfilled that Isaiah said, that in the darkness of Zebulun and Naphtali, a light has shone. So Isaiah puts all this together, and it says the Spirit is on him. He's the anointed one. He has all wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And it says he's not influenced by the opinions of men. He's not like 21st century American church. This is, well, we better do what everybody wants us to do. We better listen to everybody. We better watch out for our tax-exempt status. We better watch out for all our nonsense. We don't want picketers in the front. We don't want to be canceled. So we'll do whatever they want us to. No, he's not influenced by the opinions of men. He knows what his duty, so to speak, is. He knows what his mission is, and he judges with righteousness. With righteousness. He doesn't make a wrong judgment. He doesn't say, oh, man, I messed up on that one. That guy was way better than I thought. Oh, what am I going to do now? He doesn't make mistakes. Nobody gets injustice. When you're judged, you either get justice or you get grace and mercy. Did you ever think of that? Nobody gets injustice. And, you know, the example I like to use is Ron and I are, you know, we grow up and we're card-carrying sinners and unrepentant, and we don't give a hoot about anything that's going on. And, you know, we go about our lives, and then he calls me up and says, gee, I went to this church last night, and I'm going to follow Jesus from now on. I repented of my sin. I accepted him as Lord. I'm going to follow Jesus. And I say, man, what's gotten into you? That's weird. And then, you know, a bus comes off the road and kills the both of us. Now, I go to hell. Do I deserve hell? Yes. He goes to heaven. Does he deserve heaven? No. Because up to about 12 hours ago, he was an unrepentant sinner who lived his whole life in his own will, but now he goes to heaven. And so the judgment is always correct. There's no mistakes. There's not, well, I can't really tell. You know, in Islam, Allah puts you on the scales, you know, put your good stuff on one side or your bad stuff on the other side, and then says, ooh, sorry, Ron, you got 8 more bad things than you have good things. See ya, bub. Yeshua doesn't do that. He judges with righteousness. And a rod that comes from his mouth, and it's an iron rod. If you read Revelation 12, we don't have time to put us all up. But when he comes back, he has a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth and an iron rod in his hand. And his robes are covered with blood. And guess what? It's not his blood. He doesn't have blood anymore. So he comes as a conqueror, comes as a warrior, like so many of the prophecies said, like we were talking about the other night. You know, we're going to have a warrior king who's going to get rid of these Gentiles. He's going to reestablish the kingdom. Yes, but first we're going to have the suffering servant. First we're going to have the suffering Messiah. There's not going to be two Messiahs, the same Messiah coming at different times. So there are true judgments. And it says he's going to rule the nations. He's going to appear in weakness and humility. You know, when you see one of those green things coming out of a stump, doesn't have any wood around it, you could just take your thumb and fingers and snap it out, right? Physical Jesus of Nazareth was whipped and tortured and killed. Like a weak shoot. He appeared in weakness and humility. When he comes back, it's not going to be weakness and humility. He's going to judge. And verse 10 says he's going to be a banner to the people. And Gentiles will seek him. You remember, for those of you that have studied Torah, and I hope most of you have, for those of you that have studied Torah, you know in the book of Exodus, Moses gives God one of the Old Testament names, which is Adonai Nisi, or Yahweh Nisi, the God of the banners. Why was he called the God of the banners? Because in the camp of the Israelites, every tribe had a banner. Now, if you look it up, you know, if you Google it, you can see how they look. Each one of those banners comes from what Jacob said to each of the boys when he was dying. Okay, this is how we know Judah is going to be the ruler. He's going to have the scepter, and he's going to be the lion. And that's, of course, Jesus, who's the Lion of Judah. All the other boys get all different things. But where they were camped, there was a banner. There were banners that identified them. That was your identity. So if you were from the tribe of Benjamin and you left the camp and you went into the Sinai somewhere to go to a Walmart or something, or you met a couple of pagans at Panera's for breakfast, then you came back to the camp. Oh, come on, that was funny. Then you came back to the camp. You look around. Oh, there's Benjamin over there. Because you look for the banners. That was your identity. But now Isaiah says he's going to lift up a banner to the people. Not just a tribe, not just a bunch of tribes, but to the people. And Gentiles are going to seek him. They're going to seek some kind of a banner that he's going to put up. They're going to seek a banner because he's the God of the banners. Gentiles are going to seek him. They're going to find the Jewish Messiah. These pagan, totally uninformed people who were living around the Mediterranean area at the time, who worshiped multiple gods, who had no clue who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were, had no clue that the Jews were waiting for a Messiah, nor did they care, had no idea what was going on in the temple, nor did they care, didn't wake up in the morning and say, gee, I hope somebody comes and tells us about the Jewish Messiah today. That would be nice. No, somebody comes, preaches the word to them, and they become believers in the Jewish Messiah. Pretty cool. And then they go tell their friends, come and see. Come and see. Come to this banner. Come and see what we found out. These gods we have over here, Apollo and Zeus, and they're not anything. we found the truth, capital T. So they find the Jewish Messiah, even though they weren't looking for him. They didn't know anything about this. Then they start to seek him. You know, we're Gentiles, we're seeking him. We know him, but we want to know more about him. We're seeking. They're seeking. Gentiles are going to seek him, even though they don't know the promises. Later on in 65, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. So picture that. Paul, I always use Paul because he's my hero. Paul goes into a village in Greece, all Greeks there, all pagans there, starts preaching about Jesus. The people hear him. They're not looking for him. They hear the message. The Holy Spirit falls on them in some way and says, what this guy's telling you is the truth. Remember, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit says, here I am, here I am. To a nation, Bible says nation, it means Gentiles, a nation who's not called by his name. Those people were all worshiping Zeus and Mars and Apollo. And they had so many gods, they probably couldn't even keep track of them all. Acts 15. So they had an altar to the unknown God, just in case they forgot one. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine Paul the Pharisee walking around in Athens, and every block there's statues and altars to all these weird gods? I mean, the guy was probably like, oh, can't take it. I got to have another glass of wine. Oh, come on, that was funny. So he's going to set up a banner for the nations, verse 12, and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now, the northern kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians. Many of the people were taken to Assyria. Many of the Assyrians moved in. Intermarried with the people there, they became the Samaritans. Many of the people in the northern kingdom were taken to Assyria. The southern kingdom, the Babylonians came and destroyed it. The people went to Babylon for 70 years. Assyria and Babylon are within a few hundred miles of Israel. But God says, from the four corners of the earth, the people are going to be reunited. From all over the world. 1948. Start thinking about 1948. Only 3 years after the Holocaust ended. When that horrible, horrible Holocaust. Can you imagine going into those camps in, say, 1944 and saying, hey, don't worry, you guys. In 4 years, there'll be a state of Israel. Nobody in a million years would have believed it. 1948, they start gathering from the four corners of the earth, start moving there. We've seen it in roughly in our lifetime. And they're still going there. So he's going to assemble the outcasts of Israel, the dispersed of Judah. He will lift up a banner to the nations from afar and will whistle to them from the end of the earth. Surely they shall come with speed, swiftly. He's going to whistle for people to come to him. He's going to call people to come to him. Our ancestors were all Gentile pagans, right? Nobody here is a Jewish believer, right? Y'all are all Gentiles, right? Right. So our ancestors came running toward Messiah, even though they were Gentile pagans, because the Holy Spirit called them to it. And this is what we have to do today. You know the old saying, God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. So every generation, every person has to be evangelized. I won't mention any names, but I wasn't even a believer at the time, but it was the early 90s, and Bill Clinton had just been inaugurated, and they had one of his advisors on one of the talk shows. And this guy said, well, you know, my father is a Greek Orthodox priest, and his father was a Greek Orthodox priest, so I got nothing to worry about. And I said to myself, I don't think it works that way. It doesn't work that way. So they're going to come with speed. Psalm 71, his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations will call him blessed. All nations, all Gentiles will call him blessed. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Among the Gentiles. Love the Paul Wilbur song, where the nations are praising and Israel says, amen. Because eventually, soon, very soon, just before he comes back, Israel is going to be saved. Israel is going to be converted. And they're going to join us in the praise that we do. How cool will that be? Isaiah 49, indeed, he says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is a messianic promise, right? Is this salvation going to be within 100 miles of Jerusalem? Within 50 miles of Nazareth, within 200 miles of... No, it's going to be to the ends of the earth. It's going to be God's salvation to the ends of the earth. It's going to be the light to the Gentiles that penetrates the darkness. The world's gotten very, very dark right now. It gets discouraging sometimes, doesn't it? It's gotten very dark. You can't even like put the TV on. I don't want to call it news because there really is no news anymore. It's just, I don't know what it is. But he's the light in that darkness. You know, when Mary and Joseph took little 40-day-old Yeshua to the temple, following the law for the protection, remember the prophet Simeon picks up the baby. And I like to think like Mary's there going, what's this old man doing with my baby? Oh, come on, that was a little bit funny. So, you know, he picks up this baby and says, this child is the glory of Israel and the light to the Gentiles. Bingo, light to the Gentiles. The glory of Israel. What was the glory of Israel? They had the covenant, they had the temple, they had the priesthood, they had the sacrifices. They were the only nation that knew the true God. But Simeon says, no, 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 no. This baby's the glory of Israel. And he's the light to the Gentiles. Just like Isaiah Yeshayahu told us 700 years ago. Anybody paying attention? Anybody in the church paying attention? Nah, we think this is all boring. We want to have a spaghetti dinner and raise money to build a new bench or something. We don't care about any of this, right? I don't care. Send in money. So, you know, if you send in your prayer requests and send in $100, we'll pray over it. If you send in $200, we'll pray over it twice as hard. If you send in $1,000, oh man, we'll have people praying over it 24 hours a day. I mean, that's what the church has become in our time. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. So, what is the banner? What is the salvation to the ends of the earth? What is this kingdom all about? The kingdom is centered around the throne of David. When the angel Gabriel comes to young Mary, we don't realize, you know, we're used to seeing, well, they don't have a nativity set here, but, you know, we're used to seeing Mary, who looks like she's about 35 or 40, with these beautiful, clean clothes on, going like this. She was a 16-year-old girl, probably. Can you imagine? 16-year-old girl. And the angel comes to her and says, this boy you're going to have is going to sit on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom is never going to end. How does a 16-year-old girl respond to that? Okay, I'll do it. I mean, can you imagine? 16-year-old girl. 16-year-old girls we have in our family are so immature, they can't think about anything except their phone and what's on TV and who their boyfriend's going to be. She dealt with an angel saying, this boy is going to sit on the throne of his father, David. Oh, okay. That's awesome. Amazing. So it's the throne of David. So it's the cross is the banner. It's the cross that brings light and salvation in the darkness. It's the cross that brings reconciliation. It's the cross that brings forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so far I have put your transgressions from you. Psalm 105. I've buried your sins in the deepest part of the ocean, never to remember them. I don't even want to remember your sins because they're covered by the blood. They're covered by the blood. I don't remember what your sins are. Hey, Lord, remember that time? I don't remember that. The cross is the banner to the nations. Because it's what Isaiah says is what takes salvation to the ends of the earth. So here we are in a culture that's telling us happy holidays and singing songs about Santa and putting up all kind of stuff, and we can't have a nativity scene on the, you know, in any public place, but we can put up any manner of pagan stuff, any manner of actual real pagan stuff. You know, during the Supreme Court hearings for Justice Kavanaugh, with all that stuff that was going on, there was a huge statue of the god Moloch that was put up on the Mall in Washington and in Central Park in New York. Moloch was the god that they sacrificed their babies to, threw the babies into the fire. Because now we've decided we're going to do that too. That's cool. I don't want some baby determining what I'm going to be doing in the future. It's okay if two men marry each other. Really, Moloch? Really, Baal? Yeah, this is going to be great. If my little boy wants to be a little girl, hey, man, I'm all about it. Really, Moloch? Really, Baal? He's going to come to judge with righteousness. So it's the love for mankind that does this. You know, back in Proverbs chapter 8, there's this beautiful interplay of, it's about Messiah, and it's about Jesus being a little, like a little boy. He says, I was playing while everything was being created. Because everything was made by him and through him and for him. And it's just a beautiful description of a little kid playing. And he says, I had the most love for the children of men. You've seen The Passion of the Christ? Let's stop talking about tolerating everything. You know, people used to weep for their sins. Now they just say, eh, I don't know. Who's to say? So this is what we're waiting for. This is what we're going to commemorate. This is what Isaiah was pointing to. He wasn't pointing to a Sunday morning Well, he wasn't pointing to a Sunday morning at all, but he wasn't pointing to a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning where the leader of a group of people worshiping would say, hey, don't worry, everything is cool. We're going to build you up, man. We're going to play some nice music. We're going to give you a nice uplifting message. We're going to have donuts afterwards. See you next week. Have a great week. That's not what Isaiah is talking about. That's not what we should be talking about. How many people out there are just thinking, well, I just hope for the best. Well, it doesn't work that way.